It's always wonderful and exciting to be in God's presence. Actually, would have been at work today, but I didn't want to miss church today. Praise God. So there's something that God has put in my heart to share, and a confirmation came when I was sitting down there and Anita walked up to me. And the thing she was saying was just a confirmation of what I was just, you know, ruminating in my heart as at that time. And I now told her that I will share it today. Praise God. So Jesus said something that the time that he will come, that's in the end times, will be like the days of Noah. Yeah. And what she was talking about was about how you have to be conscious to, you know, take back your joy. Decide to be joyful, even amidst all the chaos and all the problems around and all that. And what God was laying in my heart, the thoughts that was coming to my heart then was about the days of Noah. What did Noah do? So if these days will be like the days of Noah, that means that Jesus was giving us an insight of how to survive these days, of how to live these days. In the days of Noah, the Bible said that the wickedness of men were, you know, the thoughts of the hearts of men were continually evil, and the wickedness of men, you know, was increasing every day. There are cases of the Nephilim, there are cases of angels and, you know, coming down to it. There was a lot of chaos and violence in the world. And that is where we are today. There's a lot of chaos and violence and things that can make your heart begin to worry and to panic. But what did Noah do? Noah paid attention to the instruction of God, and he focused his whole life on it. That's the same thing that God is telling us today. For you to take back your joy, you need to stop paying attention to the noise around you. Forget about the immigration issue. Forget about the inflation that's happening. Forget about people that are not giving their lives to Christ. Don't focus on those things. That's what God is saying. Don't focus about money not entering your pocket and all that. Can you look at and focus on getting the instruction that God is giving you and put your all into it? In that, you will get your joy. As a church, what is God telling us? What are we building now? As an individual, what are you building? What arc are you building? What are you paying attention to? What are you focusing on? As you focus on those things, the resources of God, the things of God, the supply of God comes to you and helps you. And then your joy is restored to you. Praise God.
I went to a fellow Christian on Saturday, and she said, I'm very fearful. And I think a lot of people are with what's to come, but actually, we are living in days of Noah, and therefore we shall not be fearful. For where does our help come from? I lift my eyes to the hills. From whence my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. So you do not need to be afraid. What goes on around, but our focus is with God, our spiritual realm. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord is on his throne.
Just following on from that, I just want to, God has been encouraging me with this statement, and I think we shared it even at community group, and I just want to say it. It's very simple. God is going to do what he wants to do, but we need to do what we need to do for God to do what he wants to do. There's always a path for us to do. It's a partnership. Your strength lies in your intimacy with God. Your strength lies in your intimacy with God. God is not going to force us, but he's going to strengthen us. He's going to give us joy. He's going to give us peace as we draw to him. Your strength lies in your intimacy with God.
Thank you again for always making me feel really welcome whenever I come. I normally start September feeling rested from the summer, and for lots of reasons, I did not this year. And I've come into September season looking at December going, Lord, I don't know where I'm going to get the strength from to get to the end of December. It's a really busy period. And even last night, because I knew I was driving and it was going to be a long day, I thought I could really do with a good night's sleep. And for lots of reasons, that just really didn't happen. And they were well outside of my control, not just poor sleep. But the Lord led me to Psalm 23. And my husband and I often joke that, well, we don't joke, but it's usually read at funerals. And then we go, actually, it's a psalm for the living. It's not a psalm for those who've died. So I'm just going to read it. And the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The last thing you expect to be doing when you're preparing for battle is to sitting down and having a good meal. He prepares a table for me. The presence, you know, he says, you sit down, you eat, you relax, I've got this sorted, is God's thing. He prepares a table. And I guess it's that table, it's putting together what Owen was saying about devotion and putting that table together. I had this, and it's from the end of Acts chapter 2, and it says, this is talking about the early Christians, the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Those last two things in particular. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising the Lord and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And it's just kind of putting those things together. He prepares a table for me. There's that sense, I think, of the power of breaking bread. There's power in that. We've done it today. But look at what the early church did. Every day they met together in various ways. They probably didn't all meet in the temple courts, but it says they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And what else happened every day? The Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. So I just would encourage us, don't just break bread on a Sunday, but break bread in your homes. You don't have to have a church meeting to break bread in your homes. You can just do it with your family. If you live on your own, you can break bread on your own. Jesus is still there, but there is power in that. There is power in that. You are calling on the blessings of the covenant that he has made for us, the eternal covenant. And you're almost saying, Lord, I know you've got loads of good things lined up for me. I'd like some of them, more of them today. You're sort of reaching into the future and pulling that, some of those blessings into today as you break bread. So I would encourage us to do that. Make every day a breaking bread day. You can't break bread too much. It's important. So yeah, they broke bread in their homes every day, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Maybe there's a connection there. There are things, but back to what Owen encouraged us to do. They devoted themselves. There's a need for us to be devoted to him in all that we do. And then we will see success. And the storm that's going on around us, like that second song there, you know, who's going to sign up for a Caribbean cruise when you see that that song with the waves and stuff like that. But the Lord can rescue us from any storm, however terrifying it seems. He reaches down, he picks us up, he puts us on dry land. You know, he's the ultimate lifeboat system. He rescues us from any storm that there is. So I encourage you to do that anyway. Do you want to?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a few minutes left.
I really wanted us to go around and encourage each other. And I think, thank you for all those who shared. You've really brought us words of encouragement. Mm. So if you walk out of here saying, well, I didn't really get anything today, you weren't listening to some of these beautiful words that God brought us. It's interesting because what's your name, Karen? As Karen was reading, did you say Psalm 121? It was just talk about a segue onto my last song. I've actually got two songs, but I'm going to finish with one song. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, who's been among us today. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you, not the person next to you, not the nice people in the big church down the road. He watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from harm. He doesn't say he'll stop you going through stuff. He doesn't say that. But he will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Goodness and mercy. Follow me. I think this last song is...